Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Native American Affairs on Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass, who was a slavery abolitionist in the 1800s, said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So here on behalf of Native Americans, we have Mr. Shanupa Mani. Mr. Shanupa Mani from the Lakota people will make a human rights demand on behalf of all people who are in need of respect for their human rights. Hello, Mr. Mani. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you for having us again.
Absolutely. And I'm delighted to welcome you to the show again. I know that you have an awesome show here for our entertainment, our education, our mobilization, and we just thank you for joining us. I'm going to turn it over to you now, sir.
Thank you so very much. Lakota ogna Waglakekile, Wopila, Tanka, and Chichapi, Dona Hong, Anagupta, Umpi. Naha, letaku, Kokataka, Unkia, Picte, Le Woyukcha, Tankiki, Unkius, Papi, Heun, Lampeto, Honki, Hompi. Hoyunka, Lena Lechus, Pinkte. Wopila tanke e chichi api tona hong anagupto ya umpi. O kanchala o khlate I blable. O kahi, sila mapalo. Well, it's been another interesting week, you know, getting involved with a lot of understandings pertaining to the communities that we all reside from, especially within the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and outside the reservation in particular. Many understandings have come to light pertaining to our culture, our existence, our traditions, customs, and so forth. And I thought it would be more appropriate to really kind of address the differences between what we are talking about in the year 2014 and the things that are continuing to assert that type of illustration pertaining to how America continues to assert the power that continues to control people within the set, you know, boundaries of any Indian territory. Historically, I wanted to look at the rights pertaining to activism, the standards of treaties, and the international concepts that give us the ability to assert our hereditary, you know, involvement to all these understandings in positions that give us the ability to move forward in a general concept about being people identified as a free and independent state. Nonetheless, over the years, many of our people have tried to involve themselves erratically by looking at how the United States of America legally restricted tribal sovereignty. And one of the things that really is applied to that is why our people have become quasi or quasi-sovereign. Well, number one, most of the treaties that were implemented to this in fashion, they were broken. And these are not fantasies that most people deem them to be, because a lot of the members in Congress deem them that they all have been debauched. Therefore, there's no exacting standard that meets that qualification to determine what these treaties symbolically represent. Now, we all know that the renewal of the said treaty statuses were to outline were to outline how these contracts were being driven to its whole, you know, validity of not living up to those standards. Excuse me. All of a sudden, I get a dry cough, and it just really is kind of, you know, interrupting my speech. Where I left off at, to really understand these fantasies that, you know, Congress has always, you know, utilizes its expertise to, you know, create social and economic, you know, inclination when it deprives people of their right-of-way. I wanted to focus on how the international understandings that were, you know, more of a lenient, you know, purpose. Lenient purpose was meaning the type of virtues that we would take, you know, forward to hold a nation accountable for all, you know, the atrocities that it had destroyed people's ability to think free for. Think free for was the type of important symbolic measure that allowed two different mechanisms in life, which you had one known as a treaty tribe, and then you had one known as the Indian tribe, which was vested underneath the yoke of slavery at the hands of the federal government through, you know, the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. But overall, we look at the international standpoint because over the years, history has considered us to be less than human. And during, you know, the 60s and 70s and throughout that type of modern history, America still administers those type of unhealthy provisions that contracts were to be separated by individual multi-tribal or regional groupings, okay? That's the national collective, you know, respect that the general limitation were subject in those kind of matters. So over the years, our people have been struggling to try to maintain nation status. Number one, nation status. What does that really mean, nation status? Okay, well, I take it under this note. In 1973, when we occupied Wounded Knee, the Lakota people and many other nations that were involved during that siege, we declared our independence as a sovereign nation by implementing independent law, independent provisions. Those structured involvement, we sent a delegation to the United Nations to ask for some kind of support by giving us recognition. And we did receive recognition from the Iroquois people. And that's where the birthing process began for the Oglala Nation. And we have always tried to implement that significantly. And the late Russell Means proved to the rest of the world that to combat this type of involvement, you have to interrupt it into an understanding where we would have to assert these accountabilities. Number one, nobody demanded them in fractions throughout the course of history. And so today we're always watered down with these attempts to make some type of, you know, knowledgeable assertion by proclaiming our, you know, citizenship. Proclaiming our citizenship, which involves the existence as nation people. So during that time when I implemented this understanding on today's show, I wanted the listening audience to really pay attention to what I'm going to be getting into. Now, many of my people here and outside my own country, within the reservations and within the cities, they try to be in compliance with what the federal government, the state and county governments, and even city governments imply to the autocritics of how the methods deprive traditional kinship to those rightful implementations that are best for you as people that are living in poverty.
Mr. Money, this is Mary Neal. I wonder if I could interject something in the middle of your wonderful presentation today. I want you to know that I just posted a statement at Google Plus at my account for Mary Love's Hill, and I let them know that Strongheart Warrior Society will. Mr. Money was on the air right now, and that the broadcast will be saved at Blog Talk Radio for later listening, and I posted the phone number so the individual could call in. That posting was dated at Google Plus December 31st, 1969. So, December 1969 is a date when personal computers had not even been invented, and Google had never been invented yet. And so I want to know, why are Native Americans being stifled? Why are Native Americans being censored? Why is it that this show, Mr. Money from the Lakota Nation, why is it being censored in the United States of America, a country that claims to give its citizens and its indigenous people freedom of press and free speech? Mr. Money, I cannot tell you how difficult it has been for me these last 2 days while people that I advocate for are being railroaded into prisons and jails in various states throughout the United States. My name is Mary Neal. I'm an advocate for the mentally ill, especially the incarcerated mentally ill, and other prisoners who are wrongfully convicted, who are excessively sentenced, or who are incarcerated for lack of medical treatment, mental health treatment. And it appears now, today, that also Native Americans are being censored, because the posting that I just placed at Google Plus was dated December 31st, 1969. And I just want the public to know what is happening as far as freedom of press in the United States, as far as free speech. And this happens virtually every network that I use. I want you to know that we are censored, and we are only saying, they're censoring political speech, which is, I'm told by Dr. Ansari, he's an international lawyer, licensed by the UN. He says that political speech is the most protected speech, and we're discussing political matters on human rights demand that have to do particularly with people of color, but especially those who are disenfranchised by the lack of wealth. And why are messages that regard these people being censored online? I ask you to please find out what's happening. Write to Google Plus and ask them, why are messages regarding Native American affairs being misdated? Why are they being dated December 31st, 1969? And you can look on my page at Google Plus. It's Mary Love Justice. Neal, N-E-A-L is my last name, and I appreciate the time, sir. Go back to your, you can go back to your presentation. I just thought that was important for you to know that you're being censored.
You know, I really appreciate that, that introduction that you just gave. You know, Native people have been censored since, the treaty making, okay? And one of the things, listening audience, that we really need to understand is that the most notorious and complicated cases that involve indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere. We are substantially changing the way people think. Because, okay, let me just back up into a brief understanding. The United Nations did grant indigenous people an opportunity to create their own governing body by statutes of own indigenous customs. Statutes of own indigenous customs, okay? But overall, as I was subjugating these issues before, and when Ms. Neal interjected with how we are being censored. Now, as I was reading some issues about a couple of days ago to a mass crowd, this issue came to mind because one of the audience gave this to me, and they were asking us what ratification and proclamation does indigenous people have to assert this validity of independence? Well, number one, when the country had been, you know, raped into existence and became America, Native people have never, ever consented to anything by the stroke of a pen or an ink feather, because that's what they had back in them days. We were all, you know, yet unborn. But we got to keep in mind that the censory of how, you know, the counterintelligence programs implement these type of fortified positions, they want to neutralize free speech. They want to neutralize, you know, the involvement of indigenous people. Now, the United Nations did declare its understanding by recognizing people of color to implement those type of infractions on international scales. That's the level. But to this godforsaken day, none of our people are making those type of implementations in a legal justification dramatically to utilize those provisions. So this is why we're at each other's throats. Now, when people are codependent on medication, alcohol, and street drugs, the American system created those formalities for people to get involved with. And you can buy them now. Now many states are trying to legalize marijuana. My reservation, known as Pine Ridge, had the tribal council trying to even implement those on the table. And then you will see the graffiti on different outlets in the neighboring town of White Clay saying legalize marijuana. Okay? You see, the codependency into that infraction, if the federal government allows nation states and even reservation to legalize these type of provision, it increases the incarceration rate, irregardless of what the circumstance is. Because then and only then does your brain become comfortable in not discharging and waging a pronunciation to protect your said identity from this chaotic disbursement at the hands of this, you know, falsified government. Provisionally, they will undermine everything that you stand for, because you'll never take the fight and blame the white man for his conditions of what he eroded upon you as a person seeking to, you know, enhance your freedom on an independent scale. Nobody understands what that means. So again, the late Russell Means made this understanding very clear on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, that the mentality of the late Dick Wilson is still alive and well. And just recently, President Brian Brewer, the newly elected tribal president to the Oglala Sioux tribe, had been cited for some provisions that were justifiable at his, you know, signatory involvement. So what does that tell you, folks? America, just as long as any said Indian reservation in this country, repeats them same failures of history. And it's never going to stop. It's never going to change until people start asserting their independence. And that's how sovereignty works. Without you believing in freedom, then there's no historical fact that changes that validity. They don't want you to achieve your independence, to become free. That's the only way our people are ever going to be recognized in the international community. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to people. I'm sick and tired of my people so desperately selling out to the greed that the system wants you to beg for when in fact it is rightfully yours. And this is why I constantly try to drill this in people's understanding. Remember, the only people that are getting rich are the ones that enslave you. Dramatically true. And this is a guaranteed, you know, fact that our complaints that we constantly try to get people to listen to fall on deaf ears because they do not want you to achieve this learning phase that you can free yourself from this bondage. And this is what's happening every day. Even in the judicial, you know, the judicial principles in America, that's what the creation of these institutions are vested upon. Anymore, activism becomes something of the past because nobody's putting the emphasis on the white man. More people say, oh, we're not saying this because all white people are bad. No, we're not saying they're good. What we're saying is that system of injustices is what's the problem because the rich pay people to write paper. And this is where legislation becomes a falsified entity to the form of government that you pay taxes to. It's never going to have that type of emphasis to change it on a provisional form of a nation's intent to utilize its people to become free. And it's sad but true. Now, we can talk all we want about what's happening, but if you're not going to take the fight to the system where the powers that be control the paper, then continue to assert that falsified dream that you never lived for. While me, I'm living exactly under that type of natural law provision. I'm a red man, known as a Lakota, and all I ask is to be free and left alone. When you have that type of assertion, you're letting the rest of the world understand one thing. I am not bothering you. I am not bothering your rules under your common valor. But you are bothering my rules to my natural life. You are preventing me to achieve that freedom and that purpose of opening up the door to the 22nd century. This is the direction where all nations need to go. But it's sad and true that this white man does not want you to achieve that. To make a long story short when I get into this, I am censored, and many other people that speak out against the federal government are censored, okay? The reason this censorship becomes an outrage is the fact that these type of messages that we are giving you, they're not, you know, intentionally serving a purpose. They are alive as a purpose. Number one, what we're trying to get people to get involved in. If you quit dividing yourselves, okay, and running, you know, to the yoke of slavery, because that's what a majority of you people do. You can't even take up the opportunity to help a man get a home, return to a reservation so he can live in it. You continue, man, to say, oh, no, I don't want to listen to that because he insults us. You've been insulting us since we ever came in contact with the vocabulary of English since you arrived in 1492. What we're saying to the American people and the listening audience is that we're not rejecting the understandings that you might have to offer to help people free themselves. What we're rejecting is those policies that continue to fail you. It's a failure, but nobody wants to get there. All these Senate subcommittees in this country continue to create statutes that don't justify the reality of what we're talking about. But every person of color wants to learn something about the indigenous independence, but it's falsified, represented to you. It continues to diminish. It continues to diminish the paramount of this obligations that continue to degenerate its educational purposes of learning your philosophy on an indigenous scale from 1 to 100. That's the purpose of why we fail ourselves, because the responsibility is up to us. Now we have lost that responsibility. But instead, we're supporting something that is moderate by groups that never, ever believed that you can achieve a goal of independence without the need of alcohol, drugs, or any type of pharmaceutical medication that you receive. You see, you're so codependent on that measure that you have missed the God-forsaken good truth to pick up the medication that is outside in the realm where the Mother Earth has given it to you freely. Freely! By involving yourself with that type of importance. That's where the independence lies. So, yes, we're going to put up roadblocks. We're going to put up fence lines, preventing you from achieving your health. You can kill yourself if you get back into those basics. People say, oh, you're just venting. You're just, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth. Okay, I'm living proof that it works. Why am I so angry at why our people are so divided? Number one, you made yourself that way because you're afraid to put the blame on him. The reason why we have such a high incarceration rate in this country is because our people have allowed that to weaken the hearts and minds of our said women and children, male and female, adult man and woman. Now it's grandmother and grandfather. This is what they do. They strip people by age to continue to keep them controlled under that predicament of yoke of slavery called, you know, controlled life. It's simple. But we're not waking up to that. Now, we can talk that we're green in the face or blue in the face, but if we're not going to implement the real independence and get the world courts to see what this country is doing, then and only then can we have those particular measures meet those standards, how the international people want to analyze our history of how America continues to assert genocidal power. And it's never going to change until we change it. Even the educational opportunities that entitle Indian people to achieve those, you know, extended measures, they are being decapitated because a lot of them only want the value of what a paycheck can do when you achieve higher learning. Right or wrong, America, that's right. You'll never work for a people. You'll never help for a people. And number one, you're always going to protect the system. When are we going to wake up and protect our own? When are we going to protect indigenous think? When are we going to protect African think? When are we going to protect Asian think? You see, those are the people that are continuing to be discriminated by the system. This is why we're always censored. They don't want us to be healthy, having our brain so knowledgeable to meet these histories of where the failures are. The where failures is right in front of you. You have to look at it, folks. Man, we constantly try to drill these understandings. You want dependencies on a system, they're giving it right to you, and you're afraid to let it go. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show has been so astonishing. I'm going to tell you what happened here. A grandfather was sitting at a park, and I'm on the opposite end, and I'm watching this grandfather. He feeds his cat, And a couple of young girls walk by at the age capacity of 13 to maybe 10 to 13. Young kids. They dress so skimpy, these little girls. This old man done nothing to these children. And these children walk past him, went to the swing sets, got on there, start swinging. But, of course, they're listening to these MP3 players. They have the cords in their ears. And his grandfather, under the grace of God, was minding his own business, feeding his cats. And all of a sudden, law enforcement just raises to the scene when this unhealthy predicament almost escalated in the life of an old man leaving Earth or returning to Earth, whichever would have been necessary. Had I not been there, the officers would have done that. And for these kids that made this unhealthy predicament, families, pay attention to your children. Quit teaching them the falsified understanding that education is real. These children told the law enforcement people that this old man tried to pick these little girls up, and he had multitudes of candy in his vehicle. That was the saddest bullshit story I could ever hear at the age capacity of these two young girls. Now remember, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. These girls implemented the most heinous behavior that could have cost a life to this gentleman. Had I not been there, that would have took place. That man would have been sitting in some, jail on falsified charges, but yet the system, once they're accused of that, even though that didn't happen, that man would have been censored, he would have been locked away, facing trial and court proceedings until the innocence came to light and said the truth where this man would walk. But within that time frame, I'll bet you 10-1 that man would have died inside that facility at the discretion of unhealthy predicaments through the vocabulary of how these young girls told law enforcement that he tried to pick them up with having, treats in his vehicle, which was unjustified. That was the biggest lie our children implemented on the said reservation. Now, what's wrong with that picture, America? Many elders and many people of color face that type of predicament because of that. Had these kids been taught the basic value system of what love was and caring and helping, them kids would not have made that predicament against that grandfather. And law enforcement, that's an insult for you guys, insulting that grandfather by shoving him back in his vehicle. What happened if he went into cardiac arrest? How would you apologize to the family of that grandfather if he passed? What would you be prepared to do to sanction those kids' family for what that falsified indication became prevalent? What would you do, law enforcement? What would you do? There are scores of our people incarcerated because of this kind of shit. In America. In America. That's not to include the reservations, because America is one big reservation itself. That's the truth. I get frustrated like this because all of these advocate groups out there that claim to stand up for sovereignty and independence, when it comes to individual people, they're never seen. Where is James Swan of the United Urban Warrior Society? Where is that little punk kid, David Martinez, that wants to complain about spirituality, people selling it? God damn it, America sells spirituality every day. If you look at every church in this country, them Jesuits, them priests, them pastors, whoever is orchestrating that faith has an offering basket receiving money. They just call it donations. Think about it. It's offerings to ask for forgiveness. And then it's okay to sin again within 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you go over there, which is recognized as your Sabbath day, and then you ask for that forgiveness. You pay for it. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. That's not the belief system in spirituality. You see, this is where this country is in denial. They lie. The law enforcement is just like the Roman soldiers, destroying people, breaking down homes and going in there and murdering everybody. That's what they've done in the past. And now in modern terms, our people are doing that to each other by age. By age. The stories are irrelevant. But yet, law enforcement deem it to be true. Law enforcement does not have the basic life skill training to neutralize problems. They don't know how to investigate anything professionally. Right away, they pull out firearms, surround people's homes, come in multitudes, and abuse a grandfather for accusations that could have escalated into something, even death. Great mystery, I thank you for being in my corner to witness all that. And for you officers, I do not want your apology. And I told the grandfather not to shake their hands when he was in the right and they were in the wrong. And you young girls that did that, shame on you girls. If you put the goddamn dress on, you wouldn't feel violated. You wouldn't have to want that type of behavior being forced upon you at your appearance. You did that, young children, because you failed to put the garment back on to cover your body. Have some respect and decency for yourself as young children and families. God damn it. Teach your kids the value system. Quit giving them alcohol. Quit giving them drugs. Quit giving them television. Quit giving them all these type of material that dilutes their ability to understand where freedom lives. And to that grandfather, thank you for allowing me to step up and help you. I, for one, will never, ever stop my fight to prevent people from entering those colonial prisons. And this is how that type of provision would have took place. Ladies and gentlemen, that happened here just yesterday afternoon. And I was so devastated by it because many scores of my people and many scores of African people, many scores of Asian people, and many scores of you white people are getting sent to prison for crimes against humanity at this type of conspiracy of a genocidal encroachment at the hands of a communist form of government. And our states have become that now, let alone the reservations. I'm getting sick and tired of our people not fighting the system because the system creates poverty. It creates all these unhealthy controlled substances that allows taxpaying money to increase the incarceration rate. When are we going to blame it? When are we going to wake up and see that's the problem? This is why Mother Earth is continuing to be violated. This is why our human rights. Look at the news. There's children. Preschoolers being sanctioned, being expelled out of school. God dang it, the basic education comes from your home, folks. Enough of this. Our children are being subjugated like this. Let alone these kids making stories up. Come on. America, you're to blame. You because you constantly write restrictions and policies. There's nothing you can implement by leaving people alone. That's all people want. If you allow them to have their freedom, you allow them to assert their independence, God dang it, they can show you a productivity in life. You'll see the crime rate go down. You'll see the incarceration things go down. And most of all, you will see the abuse of power through the authority of law being honored with its full intent. But it's never going to get that way because the rich want it this way. All the poor people are assets to this system. That's why law enforcement, they practice and perfect colonial policies by implementing the law, by raping it. They'll never honor the law until you people take that law back into your hands and correct them. This is the problem. And for that one guy that called me, I'm going to say your name, Herman. Herman, I want you to get this openly. What you said about the Native people and the African people was totally insultive. God damn it, Mahatma Gandhi was a guy that did not stand up for African people. Once and for all, get that clear in your head. He loved it when Great Britain was implementing those policies to destroy the African people in that country. And when Thomas Jefferson declared war on all these implementations, he declared war on indigenous people from the age capacity of the newborn to the elder. That history is written there. The provisions might outline it, but the history is there. That man hated Indian people. So get your record straight and your history straight, Herman. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Your number, 818-340-1492. That's kind of sad that you have a last 4 digits to when this arrival of the Western Hemisphere's involvement of the first colonists, 1492, is sad but true. And I want you to get that record, man, in your heart, that, man, that's the real truth. But yet, if you go to Atlanta and you go see where that monument is resurrected for the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., God damn it, it has Mahat out there, man. It don't have Dr. King. Think about it. I've been in my country touring everywhere and seeing all this shit. And you people blame the white man. Blame all these people that hate us of color. And you're probably afraid, Herman, making that. And when you praise hate to the great America, you think about what Thomas Jefferson did do, even the white people. Know the real history about what these people are capable of doing. That's the whole concept of why America is failing in foreign policy. It's trying to undermine the characteristics. Everything is here. If you allow people to get involved and allow them to have that type of involvement to show your productivity, you can see it right in your own backyard where all this trash builds up. All you got to do is work at it and you can clean it. But that's the problem with this system. America don't want to clean up its backyard. It keeps getting worse and worse, and scores of our people get carted off to institutions or any type of political camp. And most of all, our people are dying alarmingly by age. By age. Now you think about that. I am so insulted by all these things that took place within the past few days. My heart is so angry at it. We got white people want to involve themselves in Native teachings, Native spirituality. But you never asked us to get involved. But you have the money to buy your way in. I know about what you're going to do. When you see our sacred pipe, you sell it. When you see our sacred eagle feathers, you sell them. Anything that you can lust your eyes on becomes a value system to you. I prevent our people from allowing the white man to enter our sacred circles. But yet you still do that because you think we're a people of peace. No, we're not. We're a people of caring and sharing. Peace was brand new. We loved each other before peace ever came. We believed in each other. Think about them. Look, believing is up here. Love is up here. Caring is up here. Helping is up here. Peace is down there. People never had that. The only way you have peace is within yourself. That's how you learn how to share and love each other. That's where the togetherness becomes a bond and you can't separate. The animals are the ones who taught us these languages when you have an indigenous root built inside your heart. Think about it. But now the animals don't want to talk to you because you're not really in tone to listening to them. I do. I listen to my animals. I know exactly what they're telling me. They're telling us, people, get your heads out of your behind and see what's happening to yourselves. You're allowing that man to do that to you. And look at it. There's something changing, something going on. and you people need to wake it up. It's a spiritual renaissance. It's connecting us back into the way it's supposed to be to prevent all these catastrophes from happening. Mother Earth is brewing something right now. So is the great mystery. They're brewing something. And we have to be prepared for it. It's here, folks. It's just a matter of time before it ignites. And once it does, it's too late to run to the church. It's too late to run to the sweat lodge or the Sundance tree. It's too late for that shit. You have to look at yourself and be prepared. If these animals are telling us to pay attention, hey, the truth is right in front of you. Open up your heart so your eyes can see it. And to my girlfriend for being so supportive. You know, Nat Marie, if you're out there listening, I love you, man, for continuing to be in your man's corner. Thank you, man. And Dr. Ed Maloney, you and Larkin, and many others that supported Strongheart. Again, another shout-out going out to the man that donated me a trailer. His name is Grant Graves from Eagle, Colorado. I still can't find nobody to help me tow that truck back and that trailer. I mean, it's sad that you guys won't give me a home. You won't even help me get a home. Man, but yet you give everything else to mixed bloods and every foreigner that comes into my country, you give it to them so freely. And you won't allow a First Nations man to have a home. Man, that's insulting. America, go ahead. I'm done. I'm done with trying to ask you for help. I got to go out there and do it. I got a blanket for sale. If somebody out there in the listening audience, it's got a crucifix on it. These were donations given to me. And now I got to finally put them up, man, to help get my home back. Hey, all right, this was given to me. At least somebody had the kindness of a heart to see what Chinupa Gluha Money was doing with the Strong Heart Warrior Society, helping his people. Remember, America, you turned my elders against me. And you killed my mother the same way you killed my wife. I am so alarmed at you. But yet I still forgive you. I still forgive you, America, because you do not know any better. You don't know how it is to have peace of mind. You don't know how it is to love that purpose in life. You don't even know how to love yourself. And this is why you continue to destroy people of color. If you were so true about what you were talking about through legislation and papers and books, through law, then release every person of color that does not deserve to be incarcerated. Release them. And I'll shut my mouth up. I'll submit to everything that you have under your golden rule if you can release every person of color in my country and decrease that level of incarceration. If you can do that, America, hey, it's over for me. But you are so guilty of genocidal Holocaust and, you know, ethnic cleansing that the guilt is on you. That's what you're ashamed of. You're afraid to own up to your responsibility. This is what's going to continue to go on, and the listening audience needs to wake up and see exactly what we're talking about on today's show. I'm going to constantly drill this in your head because I want people to understand that this is what's happening. They're stripping you of those rights, and them rights are yours. Remember, again, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations gave you, world nations gave you, indigenous people and many other people of color, the ability to be recognized. They gave you that. The council's goals on the international recognitions were for you people to exercise those provisions. The Geneva Convention gives you that ability. It says it right there. Those are the legal reports that the commission has found, but yet our people fail to give them to the populated areas of indigenous people. Think about it. Wake up. Get off the drugs. Get off the alcohol. Get off the pharmaceuticals. Get off the codependency on the system. Then your conditions will start growing and start loving one another. When you see somebody go by, wave at him with a smiley face, or go outside your house, wave happiness to them, show them that you care. Man, America, you're failing that. If I could put a smile on everybody's face today on this radio show, God damn it, I'm going to do just that, because I'm asking you to help yourselves in reincarnating love within your heart, reincarnating man love, because that's what you have forgotten. And many of those other nations struggle with that same type of philosophy. They're forgetting that they once were free. In America, you continue to use your economic affairs to destroy people. And once again, Herman, thank you for making me correct you on today's show. If I'm lying about what I said about Gandhi and Dr. King Jr., then may the great spirit, man, use a lightning bolt to burn me and get rid of me. Because I don't want to, man, answer your truth anymore. Go to Atlanta and see exactly what the hell I'm talking about. And when you see my heart standing out there, then you know exactly my truth still stands. And when you read the history books about Thomas Jefferson, what he did to indigenous people, then my case is closed. And now you can finally start waking up to freedom. That's the truth. This is how America rapes history. They don't want people to really know the truth. All these falling dynasties that are occurring, past and present, from the Greeks to the Romans, from Mesopotamia, the Mediterranean, and now the failure of the American Empire. And you will see that this country still repeats history. Now the indigenous people are repeating history. This is, man, in almost 56 years, man, we elected another half-breed to steal from his own people. Imagine that. And you want to know why indigenous people and half-breeds can't get along? It's because the system. He created that. But nobody wants to blame him. Mitakiepi. Ampetukile. Chalwasti organalecius e homatai. Machazeke. Mila haskat kawo preki kakao ki trapi wanzi lila techea wichakwa. Apkapka. Ash, nasi wa hiu na oakia. Na wa kanja glena ata shikshiche wa eke ape. Ti wa heki he ampetu wanzi shicha wa kakte. Na ampetu ki lechus e chante oaste e wakanake. Bli himich e wana. Kokata ki ataku e chamokte ki yotana e wakanake. Mila haska ki lena koi chopkesne. Na kiksuya po metake pi. Wash ake tantikya na hakshi lohapi. Chahena chletekilina only jokte, na tokata hechuse on yokte. What I said in my language that, you know, my people, what I had undertaken about the grandfather the other day at the discretion of them two little girls, if it wasn't for warriors societies like Strongheart and many other individuals that see these kind of things, the end of our existence prevail. And for Mary, for implementing the understanding of why we're being censored. America, why are you censoring the truth? You should be ashamed of yourself and censor yourself. God damn, there are scores of people hurting because of this. And with that, Mary, I rest my case. I got so much calls coming into my phone. Maybe one of them, just one of them, will help me bring that trailer back from Eagle, Colorado. Grant Graves, I thank you for being patient with me. Dr. Ed Maloney, you too, Larkin, Annette Marie, I love you, and I'll see you guys all again in another week. I'm going to rest my case here. I'm very alarmed about what happened on, you know, that day at the hands of law enforcement. Thank you, listening audience, for being patient with me. And again, I didn't mean this to be disrespectful. I'm angry at the system for what has it done to my people. Hokahe, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Shanupa Money. We appreciate your coming on air every Wednesday at 3 p.m. to talk to the people about Native American affairs. You are a member of the Strongheart Warrior Society, and I certainly see what an appropriate name that is for your organization, Strongheart Warrior Society. And we need more warriors today. We need more people who will get up and stand up against oppression. You know, the Bible says that we should resist the devil and he will flee from us.
But, you know, whether you are a Christian or a spiritualist or a Muslim or an atheist, whatever religion or non-religion you believe in, that you trust in, I'm sure there are sayings that are the equivalent to the biblical verse that says that we must resist oppression. And we must do this together. We must unite and resist oppression. And guess what? It does not take a majority of people. It does not take a majority of people. We have 7 billion people on the planet, and most of them live under oppression. Most of them live under oppression by the same source. But it does not take billions of people to unite against oppression and effect change. The Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah would have been saved for the sake of just 10 righteous men. If only 10 righteous men had been found in those cities, then they would not have been destroyed. So, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice that sin is connected with destruction of the land. Sin is connected with ecological crimes. Sin. And so I say to you that according to Genesis 11:6, behold, the peoples is one. That was not incorrect grammar on the Bible's part, because people can join together and be so united that they drop the R and they become is. The Bible says, behold, the people is one and they are united, and this they begin to do. And now nothing can be withheld from them that they determine to do. Read Genesis 11:6. Now, whether you read the Bible as a philosophical book or whether you read it as a religious book, I urge you to consider some of the verses that I have given you today that urge the people to unite against oppression. And we need to do that, and we need to do it urgently. And I thank you for joining us today on Human Rights Demand. As I said, Frederick Douglass was a slavery abolitionist in the 1800s, and he said that power concedes not without a demand. It never has, and it never will. A demand is most effective when there are a number of people who are united in making the demand together. And we're here every Wednesday to make a demand, a human rights demand, on behalf of indigenous people, not just the indigenous people in America, but indigenous people in West Papua, indigenous people in Venezuela, indigenous people in Africa, indigenous people all over the world. We make a human rights demand on behalf of indigenous people. As Martin Luther King said years ago, all we ask of America is be true to what you said on paper. That is still an issue today, and it behooves us to unite and demand human respect for human rights, for all people, for everyone, everywhere. There is enough bounty in this world to sustain 7 billion people. God made this world a renewable, full of renewable resources. There is no such thing as the world running out of space, air, food, water. None of that is true. None of it is true. Because God the Father looked at the world when he made it, and he said, it is good. I believe that is true. I believe that the world is full of renewable resources. Furthermore, there are so many intelligent minds, so many people who are gifted with scientific genius, that if they were concentrating their technological discovery on creating more renewable resources rather than war and domination, we would have even more wonders to behold. We would have even more of everything that we need. But our scientists' minds, our technological geniuses' minds, are commandeered toward war and destruction and dominion. Therefore, I say to you, it is everyone's business. It is everyone's responsibility to unite with your brothers and sisters across all racial and socioeconomic divides. Join together, hand in hand, and make a human rights demand for clean environment, for education, for health care, for the things that sustain life and that support freedom. I say liberty and justice for all. In a couple of days now, the United States of America will celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day, a day when Europeans celebrate the independence of this nation from England, Independence Day. It commemorates the Revolutionary War and the birth of this nation that was already fully occupied with indigenous people who had their own society, their own government, but they were disregarded. So on July 4th, we will commemorate the independence. I want to ask you, do you feel independent? Do you feel independent when you go online and you're knowing that every email you write is being spied on, knowing that every single post you read is being recorded, knowing that every move of your cursor is being noted by strangers? When you open up your banking online, do you feel independent? Does it make you feel secure to know that strangers are reading every single thing that you send to your bank, to your family, to your lawyers? Does it make you feel independent when you pick up your cell phone and you know that strangers appointed by the government are privy to every nuance of your conversation? They know everyone that you talk to and what time you talk to them and exactly what you said to them, and it's all being recorded. Does that make you feel secure? Does that make you feel independent? Dependent of what? We need, I say we all need, self-autonomy and independence of a system that seeks to dominate and control us. I thank you for listening today to the Strongheart Warrior Society. Mr. Shanupa Mani comes every Wednesday at 3 p.m. to talk to us about Native American affairs and also about the greater issues that affect all of us. And I want to thank him again for doing that. I want to thank you, listening audience, for coming online. I ask you to read about these matters. Don't just take our word for it. Please research everything that you hear on human rights demand. I invite you to do that. Because we are at a situation now where things are approaching an emergency level. For most of us, we may still be unaware of it, but those of us who are aware consider this an emergency point nearing or may have already crossed the point of no return. So I ask you to please drop your individual prejudices, drop your divisions according to political parties and race and socioeconomic levels, and join hands with your brothers and sisters, your fellow man, no matter what race, no matter what economic level, no matter what educational level, join hands and make a human rights demand right now, today. And we appreciate you. We bless you. And I want to thank you for joining. Please feel free to call in to these Human Rights Demand shows that are on the air at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every day except for Friday. On Fridays, we go on the air at 6:30 p.m. with the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show. Jenny Strozier is a man who was in Georgia prison system for 46 years from the time he was age 10. He kept breaking the prison rules and got his sentence lengthened repeatedly. He kept escaping and got his prison sentence lengthened. And finally, this man was released from the Georgia prison system last year after spending 46 years behind bars, 15 of them in solitary confinement. Yet he is not bitter. He's looking forward and not back. And he speaks to the youth about avoiding incarceration and how to do that. And he also speaks to ex-offenders about avoiding recidivism and how to do that. So I invite you to come on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. to the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show. I recently put up a fundraiser for Jenny Strozier because on July 31st, he will celebrate his Independence Day. He will have been out of the prison for 1 year, and this was Jenny Strozier's first year of freedom since he was 10 years old. He went into incarceration the year that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. died in 1968, and he came out July 31st, 2013, and he came out changed. He came out peaceful about his life and looking forward and not back. So I want to thank you for right now for putting a donation into the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real, Jenny Strozier Reentry Fund. As you know, in Georgia, inmates are not paid, even though Jenny Strozier worked for years. He has no savings, no retirement account or anything. He's in his mid-50s, and he only has a part-time job because it's very difficult for people who are leaving prisons and jails with a criminal record to find employment, because it's challenging for people with college degrees and no criminal background to find employment. So therefore, we ask you to please donate to the Jenny Strozier Reentry Fund. Just Google that, Jenny Strozier, Strozier, Reentry Fund. Another issue that we have concerns Mark Bowles, M-A-R-K-B-O-W-L-E-S. That's a young Caucasian man, 32 years old, with traumatic brain injuries, PTSD, and epilepsy. He was prosecuted last week for having an epileptic crisis in a hospital, which frightened a nurse. The nurse fell and bumped her head, and so he was prosecuted for assault. He doesn't even remember the incident because he was having an epileptic crisis, and that's what frightened the nurse. If you think that is absolutely ridiculous, as I do, I ask you to please give to the Bowles Legal Defense Fund. I'm preparing that now for you, but I want you to know you can look up the Mark Bowles Legal Defense fund to contribute to this United States veteran with traumatic brain injuries, epilepsy, and PTSD who was prosecuted and faces sentencing because he had an epileptic crisis that frightened his nurse. I know this sounds outrageous to people who may not be familiar with the prison industrial complex in America and the fact that this system is another way to capitalize off of human beings. So people are more or less sold into prison slavery. Another individual who I want you to be prayerful for is Terrell Scott, T-E-R-R-E-L-L. S-C-O-T-T. Terrell Scott is a mentally ill young man who lives in the state of Pennsylvania. He was wrongly incarcerated for 4.5 years with trial denied. I said without a trial. His trial was denied. When he saw that he may never get out of prison unless he agreed to sign a plea bargain, he went ahead and signed it. He was released from prison based on that signature, but only 2 months later, Terrell Scott was rearrested for no apparent reason. The criminal charges that they gave Terrell Scott were missed probation appointments. There were 3 probation appointments that Terrell Scott allegedly missed. 2 of those appointments happened while Terrell Scott was still in prison. He was released on March 5th. Both the earlier 2 probation appointments precede the date March 5th. How can anyone be held responsible for missing probation appointments that had passed before they were released from prison? The third appointment that Terrell Scott is accused of missing happened while he was in a mental hospital. He was committed to a mental hospital on the date of the 3rd probation appointment. He did not receive notice of the probation appointment, and even if he had, there would have been nothing he could have done about it because he was committed to a mental hospital dealing with his PTSD that he sustained during 4.5 years a wrongful arrest with trial denied in the state of Pennsylvania. I want you to know that of the people I spoke to you about, Mark Bowles is a Caucasian, Terrell Scott is a black young man, and you just heard about the Native Americans and how they are mistreated. This thing is not something that is relegated to one race. Generally speaking, though, the only commonality among disenfranchised people in this country is their wealth status. I want to tell you that there are certain circumstances that even overcome your privilege based on skin color and wealth. And one of those circumstances is mental illness. I read that Senator Deese of Virginia has filed suit because of his son's suicide, Gus Deese, his young son. I believe he was 19 or 20. He committed suicide last year when 3 mental health facilities in the state of Virginia refused to receive him as an inpatient when he was in crisis. Gus Deese went home. He attacked his father and sliced his face, sliced his neck. And his father got away from him in his schizophrenic crisis, and Gus Deese killed himself. So his father has filed suit for wrongful death on behalf of his son. And I thank Mr. Deese, Senator Deese, for filing suit, because unlike our lawsuit, when my brother was secretly arrested in Memphis Shelby County Jail and murdered by undisclosed means, our suit did not get through the court process. But maybe Mr. D, Senator D's family's lawsuit will get through the court process since he is a Virginia state senator, and I imagine he has two pennies to rub together. My family was completely ignored. Our right to a fair trial was completely ignored. Our right to open records has been completely ignored, disregarded, disrespected for going on 11 years. As a matter of fact, on August 1st, 2014, it will mark the 11th year, the 11th anniversary of Larry Neal, that's N-E-A-L, Larry Neal's wrongful death by undisclosed means in Memphis Shelby County Jail in Tennessee. I want you to know that Larry Neal was not only mentally ill, but he was black and he lacked wealth. That's a triple whammy. That's a triple whammy, because either one of those conditions will render your human rights, your civil rights, as being of no effect. No effect. It renders your civil rights and your human rights as moot. If you are black, if you are mentally ill, or if you lack wealth. I didn't say and, I said or, because either one of those factors will render your human and civil rights moot. And so these are some of the challenges that we face here in America in the 21st century. In the age of colorblindness, I want you to know that whereas individual people of every race are indeed colorblind, the system is not colorblind. It's very prejudiced, it's very racist, and it's very elitist. So we're praying for our decision makers to take their blinders off so that they can see all people as being valuable, all life as being worthwhile, and that they will stand up for the world's citizens, stop the abuse, stop the brutality, stop the wars, put scientific minds to work on conquering the problems that we regarding the environment, regarding making sustainable life possible, regarding healing diseases. Take our best minds off of the war machine. Take our best minds off of the work involved in pumping out more chemicals daily. Take our best minds, and instead of funding research projects to hurt and to harm, please put our geniuses onto studies that will develop good things for the people of the world. I know it can be done, and I thank you so much for joining with me at Human Rights Demand. These are just some of the human rights that we demands that we make on this channel every day at 3 p.m. Today I told you about Mark Bowles, who is wrongly convicted of having an epileptic crisis that scared a nurse. I mean, you know, if this wasn't a true circumstance, it would be laughable. Terrell Scott, who was released from prison with two missed probation appointments already against him. If it wasn't so ridiculous, that would be laughable. And also, I want you to please prayerfully consider signing the petition for Damian Hayes, who is enduring his 14th year in solitary confinement in Florida. 14 years solitary confinement. Damian Hayes. He's mentally ill. He had a health crisis and committed his first offense, which was an assault on his neighbor during a mental health crisis. Instead of getting treatment, he was arrested and he was sentenced to life in prison. He is now in solitary confinement for the 14th year. We need you, ladies and gentlemen. We need you to stand together and make a demand for human rights in America. God bless you. I thank you for joining us. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Please come again tomorrow at 3 o'clock p.m. when Bob Darby presents his show. Bob Darby is an advocate for the homeless mentally ill. The second hour tomorrow, we will hear from Ms. Lillian Eaglefeather. She is also of the Lakota Nation, and she starts her show tomorrow afternoon, right after the Bob Darby show, and she also advocates for the homeless people all over the nation, especially Native Americans. I want to thank you for joining us. I look forward to you calling in with your comments and your questions. The telephone number here is 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. I urge you to join us every day. You don't want to miss any of these shows, but if you missed the live broadcast, we're on Blog Talk Radio, which archives its radio shows. So I want to urge you to join us either live or listen to the archived broadcast every day. Every day we have a different host, sometimes a few hosts, and they bring you what they consider to be the most urgent human rights demands. Thank you. God bless you. See you tomorrow.